We are inducting the best of the best in a number of different categories here, celebrating excellence. The next category that we have up here is for best comic book character. We will have a full recap of this at the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. Quick rundown thus far here. Best U.S. President, Ronald Reagan. Best country other than Canada, is Canada. Best motion picture, Godfather. Best thespian, Kevin Costner. Best female bombshell, Raquel Welch. Best musical performer or group, Bon Jovi. Ugh. Best TV show, All in the Family. I can't believe that got it over The Office. Best TV or movie cartoon character, Bugs Bunny. Best comic book character is up next. The ones that we have between now and the end of the show here. Best comic book character, best pro wrestler, best football player, best basketball player, best race car driver from any circuit, best hockey player, best baseball pitcher, and best baseball hitter. We have an email from our friend Dennis, who is a great emailer on Tuesday nights, the Pro Wrestling Insider, great message board poster. Additionally, he says, I think Mickey Mouse is the best cartoon character of all time. Sincerely, Minnie Mouse, Pluto, and Walt Disney. So we'll resume analyzing these here. We have the votes of all of the dignitaries who have cast ballots here. Additionally, I have Paul Belfi on the other side of the glass, Russ Cohen, our good friend from Sportsology on line one, and my partner Jason Jones on line two. Best comic book character. This is one where I went kind of a little bit off the board with my good pick here. I ended up, I didn't kind of go in the same vein. Everybody else seemed to be interpreting this as most heroic or what, and you'd be pretty
hard pressed. Did you pick Jughead?
Holy crap! How did you know? Yeah, Jughead is my pick. How did you even guess?
I just figured this with what you were saying that you were not picking a superhero.
Yeah.
Which wasn't necessarily implied that it had to be one. But then I thought, okay, it's Rick we're dealing with here. And Jughead just jumped off at me.
I love that I'm so transparent that you knew it was going to be Jughead. And Felfie's pointing at me. Yeah, I guess I am that transparent. But you know what? Somebody that I find entertaining, yeah, I'm going to go for Jughead. Paul Belfi, you went for a more conventional choice.
Obviously,
I think we all know who Belfi went for.
I'm the biggest Superman mark walking planet Earth easily and clearly. Superman should win this, hands down.
Superman is not going to suffer for votes, that's for sure. Russ, you are somebody else who was a pro Man of Steel.
Yeah, actually, you know what's funny? I actually had Bugs Bunny for the cartoon character. I was just reading long on my email, and I did have Superman for comic book character. And I wouldn't call myself a Superman mark, but just always enjoyed reading it in the comics. Just, it was one of my favorites.
Now, Jason, yours wasn't as unconventional as mine was. I don't think anybody's was necessarily, but yours was out there a little bit.
Well, look, I've been looking at this whole thing completely different than everybody else, I think. Because, and at the end, I want to have a moment to kind of explain this better across the board. But for this particular category, the second I saw comic book, I'm like, okay, Count Belfi for Superman. And I figured that if most people thought that it would be a comic book superhero, that you would defer to Superman because, let's really be honest, regardless of how much of a mark or not you are, Superman is the line for the superhero. Because he may not have been the original, but he might as well have been. He's the blueprint for the superhero. So the reason I did not go that way, maybe it was because I figured a lot of people would, or because I went the exact opposite. The person that I chose doesn't possess a single supernatural power. Matter of fact, he's the most human of all the superheroes that I ever paid attention to. He has a drinking problem in the comic book, and he also has drinking problems in real life, as the actor who played him in this summer's blockbuster, and that would be Tony Stark of Iron Man. He's just a regular dude who's just smart enough to build a mechanical armor suit and beat people to a pulp with it.
Well, that was that's an interesting pick here. So we got two in for Superman thus far, one for Jughead, one for Tony Stark. We've got oh Cervello just IM'd us here that he's not the New York bureau here. He's not very impressed with Jason's selection here on Tony Stark Iron Man. But no, I thought the explanation was very defensible here. The other selections that we had, Bob Glassman, working kind of along similar lines as me, selected Veronica as his favorite comic book character.
Nate, now, you know, Rick, Veronica will have to make an appearance on the eventual FDH I'd Hit That comic and or cartoon character.
That's true. Yeah, when we eventually do that spinoff, and you know that's coming. Nate Noy goes for Spider-Man. So that's one right there. We have another Spider-Man pick also from our emailer, Zanzibar. So two thus far. I'm sorry, no, Zanzibar goes for Superman. Now, Superman was the one here. Superman is basically winning this in a walk. Tony Mazur goes for Batman. Sam goes for Professor Charles Xavier. Steve, the New York Bureau, goes for Superman. My brother, Mike Morris, votes for the Brown Hornet. Chris Galloway casts his vote for Spawn. And John Adams goes for Batman. Galloway had some interesting ones, Jason. This was before you came on, but for Best Thespian, he put down First Ancient Greek to Portray Oedipus. Best Musical Group, he put down, or Performer or Group, he put down Beethoven. Best Country Other Than the U.S., Rome, the Republic Before the Empire. So,
you know, weird, why you mentioned that? I can't let this go another minute. I was going to wait till the end of the show.
Yeah.
Are people making a mockery of the proceedings here?
Not every.
What is good about Canada?
Well, I voted for Canada. Look, I just, as I pointed out, and I'm going to give you the floor here on this one here. And by the way, we'll officially salute Superman. Superman has joined the pantheon as I raise the Dundee for it here. But I prefaced Canada by saying, and this caused Paul Belfie to collapse into a fit of laughter when I said, "Well, it's the only other country I've ever been to." I'm just being perfectly honest here. I'm not a world traveler, but there were things that I liked about it when I was there. I mean, I've only ever been to certain parts of Canada. I've been to different parts of Ontario. I don't think I've ever even been outside of that province. I've been up on the side over by the falls, and then I've also been on the other side north of Sault Ste. Marie. I don't know. It's a lot like us in a lot of ways. I mean, in some very clear, obvious ways, it's not. But it's a lot like us in many different ways. And I happen to
you know, I get it, and I can deal if it's because people haven't been there to been to other places.
Well, Jason, I wanted to give you the floor here. You voted for United Kingdom. You've probably been to more places than the rest of us put together. So break it down for us as far as how your ballot went.
Well, yeah, before I get there, how many do we get for Italy? Because I'm assuming there's at least two.
Paul and Samantha.
Not counting Galloway.
Yeah, Paul. No, Galloway voted for, should Rome have counted? Well, he meant ancient Rome, so no. But, yeah, just the two votes there.
Okay. I'm not, by no means is this a virtual pissing contest or anything, but I've been to just about every country in Western Europe. Have no desire to go to any country in Eastern Europe. I've been to Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, the Netherlands, England, Ireland, Scotland, and so on. I can keep going where I want. The point that I picked the United Kingdom partially because I love Ireland like Paul loves Italy. Maybe not so much from a first-hand lineage perspective, but I am part Irish. I've been there. It's nice. It's beautiful. It seems to be one of the few places that is, from what I experienced, untethered from modern things. Like, when you go to Italy, they're still in the disco mode, at least the last time I was there. And you don't get that in Ireland. England was great. I love the food in England. The people are kind of snobby, but you know, take what you can get. And Scotland's just flat out awesome, period. But yeah, my selection is totally based on my own experiences. France is nice, but as we all, whether we've been there or not, you know, France can go to hell, just in general. Their people suck. Portugal is just an extension of Spain, and Spain is really not that exciting. So when you look at Europe, which is my main concentration, that's why I picked them. I've been to parts of Africa, which is not to be mean about it, but it just feels like another third world country. Canada, I've been to, but very sparingly. And I've been to some Latin countries, none that I felt were worth noting. And I have not been into Russia or China or anywhere over there. So, personal experience, I took into account food, the kind of food that they have, and my experience with the people, the respective cities' infrastructure, and that they're not a terrorist nation.
Well,
you know what? The only thing I want to add, Rick, is that, Jason, if you went to Vancouver, you might change your mind.
Well, no, I've heard Vancouver's really nice. But, yeah, again, my experience with Canada has been very, very short and limited. The reason my reaction was what it was is, you know, any other time someone mentions Canada, it's like, oh, they're the redheaded stepchild to the north of us, and everyone seems to make fun of it. Assuming that those people had experienced more than I had, it would just perplex me beyond repair.
We have some IMs here also kind of catching up on this. I just got these now from our FDH New York Bureau. These are on a couple of different topic series. Says, would Burrell have voted for Good Times or Sanford and Son? No, we haven't. We didn't get a chance to get a ballot back from my friend Burrell Jackson.
Hopefully Sanford and Son.
One of our dignitaries. Yeah, he might. Sanford and Son is his entrance music on this show. For TV choices, you obviously forgot Thunder in Paradise. He said nobody picked Samoa, so he couldn't... He couldn't really believe that. And the next one to get to here, and he also says, Jerry, what a Mizark. I don't even remember a Jerry that got voted on in any categories here. Oh, by the way, for comic book characters also, forgot to mention, from Zanzibar's ballot, Bullwinkle was, okay, so we had a vote for a TV or movie cartoon character, I should say. That was for that category.
You know, Rick, just for my own personal benefit, and you don't have to do anything now, but next time you see your brother, I'm very impressed with the Brown Hornet.
Okay, well, he kind of surprised me a little bit with that one himself here. For the next one here, best pro wrestler, I'm going to defer to each of you two guys first before Paul Belfie and I get to our selections because we agreed on ours here.
Is that going to be our second break? you guys debate that one?
Well, Belfie and I are in agreement on that one here. Okay. But Russ, let's start with you, Mr. Wrestleology here from sportsology.info. You and I have talked about this kind of off air previously here about all of us sort of being creatures of our geographic biases here, and I will first and foremost cop to mine being a product of that, and yours has to be, you know, to your northeastern allegiance growing up.
No question. I mean, Bruno Sammartino definitely ruled the roost and actually was one of the guys my dad used to like watching when he first broke in. So there was a generational thing there, so that worked out pretty well. Got to remember, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with his fat son at the time, David Sammartino, on his back, and I think he set the push-up record at the time. He also had the bench press record for a little while. Fun to watch. Great matches. I mean, against Mad Dog Vachon, just terrific stuff. And Bruno, he didn't have any moves. They were all power moves, but it was his ranting were pretty good. His English was never great, so of course I would laugh at him and with him. And he was just classic superstar heavyweight wrestler.
Pretty much the definition of white meat babyface back in the day. Jason's pick, anything but standard white meat babyface, Jason.
Well, let me just add one thing here before I get into it. My experience with pro wrestling is completely WWE and F when it was that. Hogan and then a little bit Ultimate Warrior. Then there was a huge hiatus, and I didn't come back until like 1998. And then so anywhere in between there, anything that I know or speculate on is based on what I heard from Paul, Rick, yourself, and formerly Ryan Ward and Kyle Ross. So my understanding of the entire scheme of wrestling is pretty limited. However, one quick little note, when we were doing the Ultimate Night Submission Show, we actually got Mr. San Martino on an interview, which he was doing just before a pay-per-view, walking around the arena, which was pretty sweet because he basically just took his phone with him as he negotiated his way backstage, which was fun. But anyway, I picked The Rock just because, and if I were the wrestling expert and I heard somebody say The Rock, I would say, wow, that's lazy. But even when you go back to Hogan and some of the guys from that era when I was much younger and jumping off of beds and dropping elbows on my cousins or whatever, never really got as excited or into the story as I did when The Rock was there. I remember when a lot of the people that were watching it with me hated his guts. I thought there was nothing better. I'd sit through 2.5 hours just to see that main event if he was in it. So it's a pure, emotionally based, I just enjoyed wrestling more when he was in his prime.
Well, I mean, that's what it comes down to for all of us here. And it's not like any of us have any type of Shakespearean reason for casting a vote in this category. It's all equally valid. Paul Belfie and I are in agreement. For our selections here, only one word for this one, Belfie. Woo!
All I can say is this, and you know, Russ, I absolutely respect the Bruno Sammartino choice. There's no question of that. Plus the fact that he's Italian, you know, I was thinking about it. I won't lie about Bruno Sammartino, but and same with Jason. You know, The Rock was a special cat. But I'm going to say this, and nobody can disagree with me when I say this. If you had Ric Flair in his prime, mid to late 80s, Mid-Atlantic, Georgia Championship Wrestling, that era, Four Horsemen, all of that, with the WWE's marketing machine and notoriety today, Ric Flair would have been bigger than The Rock, then Steve Austin, then Hulk Hogan. There's no question about it. The only difference is that Ric Flair was at another time and another place.
You know what, Belfie, I agree with you. And I went to that first tour that he had with Hogan and the WWF, or I guess maybe they just switched to E, I can't remember, at the time where they actually wrestled each other and they were basically taking turns who would win, who would lose, and saw him at the old Spectrum, and that was a terrific match, awesome match.
Ric Flair, you know, we joke around and we say this all the time around here. Ric Flair can wrestle a broomstick and get the broomstick over.
Yep.
He was Ric Flair was the best of the best, and it's no disrespect at all to the guys that you mentioned. It's no disrespect at all to the Hulk Hogans of the world, who certainly brought pro wrestling to a new level. He was the man that did it. There's no question about that. Same with The Rock. Same with Steve Austin, Bruno Sammartino, Bret Hart. The list goes on and on and on. I don't care what anybody says. Ric Flair in his prime, without look, it's 2008, and people that never saw Ric Flair back in the day when he was exceptionally good. When you see the chop and you hear the chop against the guy's flesh, everybody in the audience goes, woo! You don't hear people going, brother, in the audience. You don't hear people saying, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, or because Stone Cold said, you don't hear that.
Right.
But 30 years after the fact, you still hear, woo! That is the only piece of evidence that I need to bring to the table to legitimize my justification and Rick's justification of making Ric Flair the greatest professional wrestler in our day.
And I tell
let's not forget the Carolina Hurricanes still use that soundbite.
They do. So do the New Orleans Hornets, I believe. I believe the Hornets use that. Baron Davis, I guess, has talked about. Or not Baron Davis, Chris Paul. I'm behind the times here. Chris Paul's now their point guard, and he's talked about that. Something that should probably be explored between us on a future Sunday night or perhaps Tuesday night. I just thought of this the other day, this scenario here. This is the greatest what if of all time that nobody even considers or thinks about here. Think about this one. What if, remember in 1988 when towards the end of the year when Crockett went under, they'd been on that huge spending spree. You know, they bought up the UWF the year before. Jim Crockett had to sell out and sold out to Turner. What if it hadn't been Turner? What if it had been Vince? What if you would have had Vince buying out Crockett at the end of 88 and you would have had everybody under the same banner at that time in those promotions? I know there was still, you know, the rotting corpse of an AWA that was still around and world class and whatnot, but that would have been just absolutely amazing. That's just a great what if scenario here. Dennis on the email again here. Dennis Huffman emails us and says, the best wrestler ever is my daddy, Hulk Hogan. He's going to get me a reality TV deal after my stay in jail. Sorry, gotta go. Activity time in the yard. See you on VH1, Nick Hogan. And another email here. Don in Amsterdam, New York. He says, the best pro wrestler is Ric Flair. When I was a kid, I didn't see Ric Flair much, not having access to NWA, WCW. But with his latest WWE run and his recent DVDs, I have been swayed. The man had a plane crash that should have crippled him, and around 30 years later, he wrestled his last match. Whether it was talking or on the mic, wrestling, he gained appeal worldwide. He didn't have Rickamaniacs. He didn't have to feud with his boss. He didn't have to marry the boss's daughter. He was just Ric Flair. So a couple more votes there. The other votes that we had from the other participants here, Bob Glassman casts a split vote for Abdullah the Butcher and Razor Ramon. Kind of a interesting
Razor
one.
Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. Bob doesn't watch a lot of wrestling. I know that. Nathan Noy votes for Roddy Piper. Zanzibar. Here's an old school one. And Russ, you're in the same part of the country here to understand this one. Johnny Powers. That's old school.
That is?
The opposite of that is this next pick here. Is Tony Mazur votes for Scott Steiner. You know what, though? But early 90s, before he was shooting up all of the elephant roids and all of the most ridiculous type stuff, back when he could legitimately still do a Frankensteiner, I mean,
that was a good move.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was, you know, the Steiners back in the heyday were awesome, and he was the better wrestler of the two, clearly. Samantha votes for Mankind for best wrestler ever. Steve, the New York Bureau, votes for Ric Flair. My brother, Mike Morris, this is old school, one of the first guys we ever watched back in the day. My brother votes for Buzz Sawyer, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. Now, that's old school, baby. Georgia Championship, Gordon Solie, good times. Chris Galloway votes for Rowdy Roddy Piper. I didn't expect Chris to even pick in this category. Chris is a guy who sort of disdains pro wrestling, but he votes for Piper. John Adams votes for Piper. So it was close here. With the votes that we had coming in here for Piper, we actually had three of them, but ultimately in the end there were, well, wait a minute. I'm looking here for Ric Flair. Whoa. All right. I guess I think I spoke two. Well, let's see. One, two, three votes for Roddy Piper. One, two, three. All right. Well, by
all right, let's get a swayed emailer just. The email with Ric Flair and move on.
Well, here's the deal. Paul and I can't vote on this because we could vote for Piper for a second place vote, but why would we? So you can't cast a second place ballot for the same guy you voted for first place. So it comes down to you two guys. If we have any if we have any unanimity between the two of you fellas, that wrestler would get it.
I can vote Ric Flair. I've interviewed the guy. I liked him. I hated him. I liked him. He's terrific in every aspect. I have no problem with him.
Jason, do you agree?
You know, interesting thing about that is the aspect of hating a guy. And, you know, when you're watching a movie, a lot of people say, well, that's just him being a very good actor. And I will say that Ric Flair didn't even cross my mind, to be honest. However, looking back on it now, after the evidence has been presented, I don't think you can deny. I love Roddy Piper, but let's be real. If this is you know, an NFL Hall of Fame debate, you know, Flair is Jim Brown, John Unitas, and Piper is Terrell Davis. So it's got to be Flair.
I agree with that. So let's give a gigantic woo as I hoist the Dundee for Nature Boy Ric Flair, who enters the Pantheon as the best pro wrestler.